You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you a new episode of our podcast. This time, it's a behind-the-scenes listen to what's happening in our Transform Masters program, enabling you guys out there in real estate businesses of your own to learn along with our Super Six and our Lucky Six. Our week one mentor was mindset coach Jed Xavier, whose job it was to start at the very beginning with our leaders who are looking at transforming their businesses by questioning what type of leader they are, what their leadership goals are, and what needs to change for them to begin the process of transforming themselves and their businesses. Now, leadership is a tricky subject, as some of you may know. Some people have the title of leader thrust upon them, and then it's up to them to fulfill that obligation. Some people are elected leaders, and then they need to figure out how it's all going to work for them. Some people become leaders by virtue of the fact that people want to follow them. Using John Maxwell's five levels of leadership framework, Jed has challenged the Super Six to figure out where they are and where they need to be. So here's Jed.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus.
Well, welcome guys to this leadership training session at Elite Agent Magazine. I'm Jed Xavier and I'm really pumped to be involved in this project. I've been involved in a few Transform projects, and when this leadership one came up, I actually wasn't invited, to be honest. I just barged in and invited myself. Because I wanted to be involved. I love doing these things. I love helping people grow. And you guys are going to get so much out of this type of a program over the next, I think it's probably 12 weeks. So really be open, really be humble, really be vulnerable, really stretch, really push your thinking, really expand your horizons. Because let me start with this. There is no real definition of leadership. There's plenty of definitions, but who is the ultimate authority on what leadership is? Is it a political authority? Is it a religious authority? Is it a, you know, social authority? What ideology tells us that there's one way to be a leader, that there's one defining process that creates leaders, that there is one book you can read that tells you, well, this is a leader. You know, if I can give you anything this morning, it's you have to figure that out for yourself. You have to decide at some point in your journey what leadership means to you, what you're prepared to do to become that type of leader, what it looks like, how you measure it, and how you define it. And so I think whilst this is a leadership transform series and you're going to hear from some of the best in the business around leadership, it's back onto you at the end of the day to go, okay, I'm going to take this information and I'm going to decide myself at the end of this or through this what leadership is to me and how I'm going to go and live that out in my day-to-day life. Because leadership doesn't just relate to business. It relates to your family. It relates to your social community. It relates to partnerships, interactions within society. It relates to everything that's human about us. So I just wanted to start with that because I'm certainly no expert on leadership. However, I've had the privilege over the last 20 years to be able to work with some very successful leaders in business and in sport and in life. And as a coach and trainer, I've come across a lot of methodologies and modalities around leadership that I've pulled information from and that I've taught, which has led me down the track to the John Maxwell stuff. I'm just going to go over briefly and put out there to you today for you to follow up at your own leisure as well. I think John Maxwell stuff's pretty simple. It's pretty easy to understand. A couple of things that it does. It gives you understandable steps about leadership, because I think leadership is a process. I don't think you ever get to a point where that's it. There's too many variable factors in life and business that impact on how we lead. But I think this model gives you some understandable steps. It provides a clear game plan for you if you want to sort of zero in on, well, hang on a second, where do I start, or how do I sort of improve, or what can I refine about my leadership? But it helps align practices, principles, and values, which I think's very important in leadership. Let me start with a couple of things that leadership isn't. Leadership isn't a noun, right? It's a verb. And it's not a thing. It's something that we do. And leadership is definitely not perfection. I was surprised in my leadership journey and studying different leaders and learning in business that some of the greatest leaders of our time were fallen imperfect humans. And if you look at the history of the Winston Churchills and JFKs and the amount of prescription drugs and amphetamines that doctors, prescribed to them throughout their careers, they would make some drug addicts these days look like preschool. You look at people like Martin Luther King and the potential infidelity that was occurring there, and the research that's been done around that, and Mother Teresa even, and the possible mismanagement of funds. I mean, at the end of the day, these people were outstanding and incredible humans, which most of us will never, even get close to. But the point is, they were imperfect. They're imperfect, fallen human beings. And the problem I see with leadership in this day and age is we're looking for a perfect leadership, looking for someone who ticks all the boxes and says, this is what it means to be a great leader. It's that Jesus moment where we go, oh, I've found the perfect person. Well, I'm sorry to inform you that there are no perfect people. And if you put your energy and invest everything into a person, you'll be unfortunately disappointed. So leadership is not about perfection. Yeah. And that should release you and free you up to think, well, geez, what, I don't have to be perfect? I don't have to be this atypical model of, perfection that everybody wants to look up to and wants to be, that I can have some vulnerability. I mean, I love what Nathan Cassilly said from Owens Cassilly at the Revive Summit, when he was talking about his journey from, starting an agency through to creating one of Australia's fastest growing and best agencies, and he struggled, he had with putting his hand up as a leader and saying, hey, I'm having a rough time here, or I'm finding it difficult, or I'm stressed, or things are very challenging, and how he broke through that and realized that, hang on a second, for him, true leadership was about that vulnerability and saying, well, hey, I don't know everything, and sometimes I'm going to struggle, and sometimes I'm going to need a hand, and sometimes I'm going to need to lean on somebody. And having the guts, especially as a male, I think it's a male thing that we don't reach out as much, but having the guts to step up and say, look, I might have got this wrong and I really need some support. I mean, if we look at traditional leadership over the years, or the centuries even, we can look at three types of leadership. I mean, historically, hundreds of years ago, leadership was pretty much authoritarian. It was a dictatorship. You had kings and queens and all that type of stuff, and they basically ruled from the high castles wherever they were and said this is the way it should be, and the church was involved in that, and so, religion got involved in a leadership that was authoritarian as well, and you could do this and you couldn't do that, and then the Enlightened Age came through, and science and art and, people started to open up, and, post-war, especially in this Western culture, people understood that dictator type leadership is not going to really work for most people, that we need to find a different way. And we started to collaborate, and leadership started to become collaboration. Well, let's get everyone involved. Let's get everyone's point of view and everyone's opinion. And they started to get the input and feedback from the people around them. And then another sort of leadership started to emerge, which was that laissez-faire type leadership where we'll just sort of leave it as it is. I might own the company or I might be running the company, but we'll see how we sort of go. And each has its upsides and downsides. I mean, obviously in a dictatorship, it's very oppressive, but, one aspect of authoritarian type leadership is someone makes a decision. Someone's got to take responsibility. Someone's got to say, we're going into war and many are going to die and this is the decision I'm going to make. Someone's got to say, we're going to spend this amount of money and it could break us. So there's always an upside and a downside to any type of leadership. That's an important point to remember. as well. And with the collaboration leadership, I mean, you know, it's almost like a hippie movement. It's like, hey, let's all share together and let's get everyone's idea. And that's fair enough until people start to disagree and not get committed. And, you know, so there's a downside to collaboration as well. You know, that too many cooks spoil the broth type things, too many Indians, not enough chiefs type thing. And the laissez-faire leadership, well, you know, that's destined to fail, I guess, because it just lets everyone run amok and sort of do what they want and hopefully mitigate the impact of that at various points so the company or the business or the person can keep moving forward. So they're the sort of the frameworks that leadership's been sort of built on over the years. And what Maxwell's done, he's sort of come in and he's sort of shaken that up a bit. I mean, what Maxwell teaches in the five levels of leadership's been taught in over 120 countries. The guy sold 20 million books, and he's probably the leading authority on leadership around the world at the moment. So I really encourage you to chase up some of his stuff. Let me just give you four books before I get started so I don't forget. I mean, these are books that have changed my attitude towards leadership and understanding of leadership. Jim Collins, Good to Great. That was an amazing study of leadership in companies. So if you haven't read that, grab that. And also get the abstract books, you know, where they bring them down to about four pages. Don't buy, as leaders, don't buy full books and try and read them all. Just go to abstract or go to a book place that just brings it down to its core information, and then you can read 10 books a week and get all the information out of it. Anything on Jack Welch, the former GE CEO, he transformed leadership in the corporate world. A bit shaky at the end, but my God, he really absolutely turned it on its head. 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, John Maxwell, definitely something to live by as a leader. And the last one, which I'm really passionate about at the moment, I have been for a year or so, is Steve Farber, F-A-R-B-E-R. And the book's called The Radical Leap. And it's about extreme, what he calls extreme leadership and leading in the oh shit moment, as he calls it. He says that's where leadership is born, that's where it lives, that's where it's expressed, and that's where it has its most impact. So there's four books that you can sort of follow up as well. So let's get into it. As I said, it's just going to give you an overview. You've got the handout. What I want you to do after this is do the quiz, and you'll see the quiz has each level on it, and basically it gives you an idea. You'll soon see, oh, well, I'm at level 1 and 3, and I'm at level 2, and I can improve level 4. Because with these levels, there's no one level you stay at. It's almost like a process you come through. From level 1 to level 5. Sometimes you can go from level 4 back to level 1. You can switch, interchange it. It's fluid. But the idea out of this whole thing is to understand these five levels and where you sit or where you need to go to. But you want to be tracking towards level 5 leadership, which is the pinnacle leadership. So if you look at level 1 leadership, level 1 is positional leadership. Now, everyone's had a job before and everyone's got a job. Yep. So you understand the concept of walking into a job and the boss is in the office. Well, that's position leadership. Or if you're in the army, sergeants and majors, etc. If you're in a family, if you're the parent, you have positional leadership. The kids aren't the boss, although they want to be the bosses. And if you've got teenagers, anyone got teenagers? Hands up. Hearing your pain there, Kylie. Sarah, I'm hearing your pain even more. There's a few. They think they're the boss, definitely. But if you're a parent, you're in positional leadership. So also with this process, think outside of the box in the sense of don't apply this just to who I am as a business owner or a principal or a real estate agent, property manager, whatever. Think, hang on a second, leadership spreads across everything that I do, everything that I am. You know, if you're in a group, you might have been the fastest or the strongest or scored the most tries in sport or goals or whatever, and you were looked upon as the leader of the group. You're probably the captain. That's a positional leadership. People follow you because they have to follow you. they can't get away from it. They have to. There's a sense of authority there that you have to buy into and you have to follow. A couple of things about positional leadership. The upside is that obviously you have potential. There's some potential there. You're in a position because you've either grown into it, you've fallen into it, you've been voted into it, you've walked into it, you've taken a chance into it. But there's obviously some potential there that you have. And that's something that you want to embrace in positional leadership. Remember, one style or one level is not worse than the other. There's no judgment of right and wrong, but one level is obviously where you want to be and spend more time in and ultimately become. The downside of positional leadership is it's misleading, because just because you are in a position of leadership doesn't necessarily mean you have the characteristics or the qualities or the capacity it takes to become a leader. I'm sure you've been in businesses where there's been a leader as a manager, they've been a manager or they've been an operator or they've been a principal in real estate, and they have just sucked at leadership. They have just been the worst example of what a leader should be. But you have to follow them because of the position that they're in. You might have had jobs outside of leadership. You might know people where you think, well, hang on a second, how can they even be in that position? Positional leadership is probably the easiest level to fall into, because I can put my hand up and go, well, I'm taking charge of this now. Because right now I'm in charge of Elite Agent Magazine HQ, isn't that right, guys? So my position is a position of leadership to an extent, but I don't think the guys are keen on me taking over this place. So therefore, at the moment, they sort of have to follow me because I've got the camera and the audio, but ultimately they're not wanting to. So the upside is you have potential and it's good and there's opportunity to grow and you get a chance to expand. The downside is a little bit misleading, but because it doesn't automatically make you a leader. The second level of leadership is permission leadership. People follow you because they want to. There's relationship built. I'm sure you've been in, even in real estate, you've had a manager or a lead agent or a principal or somebody in the organization that's at that leadership position type role, but you like this person. You want to be a part of what they're doing. A lot of people move agencies, especially agents, they leave agencies because not so much of the opportunity within the organization. I mean, obviously that's a part of it and there might be a better split and all that type of technical stuff, but they generally leave because they like the person that they're going to. I had a young guy that's looking at moving on from his agency, and he's had about three potential times where he's gone, yep, I'm going to go with these guys, and then that's sort of fallen over. I'm going to go with these guys, fallen over. I'm going to go with these guys, and it's fallen over. And each time it's been because there's been something about them that he hasn't liked or that he wouldn't follow. And there was no thought of, well, hang on a second, I'm going to be able to build a good relation. I like these people. So permission leadership a lot of the time is based on likability, yeah? If people like you, they'll follow you. And I would say a lot of agencies in property management and in sales, admin, and any area of the real estate space, what I've seen around Australia, a lot of leadership is this type of leadership. You know, we get on, I like them, we're friends, you know, we started this together. It's that type of thing. The upside of permission leadership is that obviously it nurtures a truckload of trust. If you're trying to drive a company, then you want to be able to have ultimate trust with the people, especially the leaders in that company, that they're driving it with. So, you know, it increases trust, it nurtures trust, it makes trust easy, it makes communication easy, it makes understanding easy, it smooths things out because people are sort of on the same page. The downside, however, to permission leadership is, you know, you can get taken advantage of as a leader, because sometimes when you are a permission type leader, you can be a little bit soft. I got a guy that runs an organization, 18 months out of the box, brand new area. They've ticked over 1 million in sales. They're really, really, really going strong. But the issue for the principal that I'm working with is his leadership around addressing issues within the sales team, productivity, quality, that type of stuff. And rather than direct it head on, he dances around it because he has permission type leadership. People like him and he doesn't want to rock the boat for fear of it falling over and slowing the process down. And so he wants to stay liked as a leader, and so that permission leadership stays at the top. But the problem with that is that you create cultures that aren't effective, they become really inefficient, and you know, people start to direct traffic and the leader sort of takes second place because he doesn't want to offend anybody, he wants to be liked and he doesn't want any conflict. And that's the problem with permission leadership. The third level of leadership that John Maxwell talks about is production leadership, and I think this is probably the most popular in the leadership space within agencies that I've certainly seen as well. I was with Dane Atherton the other day, catching up with him up in the Gold Coast, and just doing an interview for an audio series that I'm bringing out, and we're talking about everything real estate, but the question was, Dane, what do you bring to the table? What's your genius? What is it that you add to this that makes this company great? And, you know, straight away, he was talking about he's producing at the early days, you know, how he was able to set the standard and get out in front. And people want to be a part of that. You look in any organization and the lead agent or the sales agent or the super agent is generally the one that people want to be like or they want to follow. Again, if you're changing agencies and you're going to an agency that has, you know, people that are underperforming, well, you're not going to go to that agency. You're going to go and join an agency where they've got high performers that are going to be able to support, encourage, motivate, help you set standards and examples, etc. So production leadership is probably one of the most popular. People follow you because of your results. Now that's okay. The upside is it gives you credibility. So, you know, you don't want to follow a leader that's not getting any results, that's not growing. And companies attract a leader like that. You know, Dane's business has grown really fast because he's that type of leader. He's a production type person. He gets results. He doesn't muck around. He's very clear about where he's going and what he needs to do. And people gravitate towards that. It gives the business credibility. If you're looking with agency A, with underperforming agents and businesses, agency B, high-performing agents, high-performing leaders, you're going to go with the high-performing agency any day. And production leadership sets standards. It sets an expectation that this is where we're at. And leaders need to be able to do that. The downside of production leadership is the problem that if you don't produce, then what happens? If your production is up and down, or if you have an off day, an off month, or even if you shift from, you know, what Dane's done to selling to into managing and overseeing and running the business, what happens then when the results aren't as apparent? Sometimes there's pressure to produce, there's pressure to be that amazing, unbelievable person. I mean, I see it happen all the time. A lot of people come to me and say, they're not going to join another office, they're going to open their own office. They're good salespeople, they've had lots of success as a salesperson. So the next step is, well, hey, if I can be a great salesperson, I can be a great principal. And what happens is, they start to try and do both. Yep, so lots of people come and join them. Yeah, this guy was a great agent. Fantastic, joining his business. So people come across, great agent, starts to try and be a great principal, and because his production leadership is at the forefront, everything sort of falls apart because it's hard to be a production leadership and lead a team when you're trying to run the business at the same time. And I think that's a consistent issue within leadership. So production leadership is something that's positive and impactful, but you also have to be careful about that perception from people. And the other thing is here, this is a point, this is sometimes not as clear cut from people's perspective. So if they're looking in, you could cross over different types of these levels, and people might see you as a position leadership, they might see you as a production leader, they might see you as a permission leader, and they might see you as all three at once. So that's interesting in itself, and it's important for you guys to understand as well, and not to make the assumption that, because I'm trying to be this type of leader, that people are obviously understanding that. Four, level four people development. People follow you because of what you have done for them. And again, if I use, you know, there's a whole lot of people that I could talk about, but I was with Dane last week, so it's a perfect example. You know, one of his greatest things that he adds to the company is his people development, is getting alongside people. There's no one cookie cutter way that they develop their team. It's done on a case by case basis. Where's the person at in life? What do they want to achieve? What type of personality and behavior type are they? Where do they fit? And then working with them at that level. And people follow leaders like that because of the things that you do for them, the input that you have, the times you get alongside them, the interest that you show, that relationship that you build, and the stuff that you give them, anything from bonuses to, you know, social activities to resources to systems, all that stuff is part of people development. The upside to people development type of leadership is that it helps the company grow. And, you know, Dane's a great example. Again, the company's growing pretty fast, and it's growing on the back of that personal development type leadership. It sets you apart. I don't know if you've been into an agency where there is no culture of people development. It's like walking into a wasteland. No one just gives a rat's and no one cares. It's sad sometimes when you see that type of thing. I remember two principals came to me once and they said, "Jet, we've got 15 sales guys, we're going all right, we want you to fix them." I went, "Wow, all right, this will sound good." So I sat there for a second, breathed in, and I just went, "Can we start with you guys first?" Subsequently, I didn't get that business, but that's all right. But the point was, there's such a disconnect sometimes with leaders and their teams, and I'm talking about property management, admin. You know, I had a guy call me from Victoria. You know, he'd been hearing about what we were doing with the Revive project, and he said, "You know, I'm just starting to realize that, you know, my sales team gets everything, but my property management and my admin and my associated staff and part-timers, they get nothing." And, you know, I need to fix that. And so here's a person that's probably great at production leadership and position leadership and okay at people development leadership, but they've realized, hang on, something needs to change. The downside with people development leadership is it takes a lot of commitment. And when you're stretched and when you're pushed and when you're under pressure, you know, the first thing to focus on is the bottom line. That's what if you're running a business in that sense, and even if you're managing a team, you are responsible for a bottom line, and that creates a whole lot of pressure. So, you know, you can get into the times where it's like, "Oh, well, I just can't worry about that right now. I need to focus on this type of stuff." So lack of commitment types happening with that. People development leadership is one of the highest, highest levels as well, in the sense of if you want to strive towards something straight away, strive to be a person that is part of people development, someone who gets alongside other people. And again, you don't have to have a title. Leadership is not a title. You probably heard that. You don't have to have a title to be a leader at the people development level. It's about encouragement. It's about support. It's about, you know, being that person that's there. I mean, something that came out of the Revive project, which was awesome, was, and I'd never heard of it before from one of our roundtables, was mental health first aiders, which I've been doing a little bit of research on for the industry when we kick on with Revive next year. Who would have thought we've got mental health first aiders? I mean, what a cool concept, you know. I just think that's fantastic. And if the real estate space can catch up with that, which I'm certainly going to try and champion, that's going to be great. But again, it's part of people development. That's people development leadership right there and then. Okay, number five. this is pinnacle leadership. This is what the level that Maxwell talks about that everyone wants to aspire to and push to. However, not everyone potentially will probably make it to that type of level, but certainly can move in and out of it and certainly be committed to the dedication of trying to become this type of leader. And I mean, if we look at the highest level of leadership, we're talking about the Mandelas and the Jack Welshes and the Branses and those type of people. And even within our industry, there are people that are similar to that, maybe not at the financial or the global sort of celebrity type level, but they still have that thing about them that people follow them because of who they are and what they represent. Pinnacle leadership is about people following you guys in Transform, because of who you are and what you represent. Just quickly, while I'm chatting along here, I want you to write down, who are you? Who do you think you are and what do you think you represent? And is this something that on a day-to-day basis you are consistently focusing on and looking at trying to expand and grow and change? Because people are following you possibly because of who you are and what you represent, or they're not following you because of who you are and what you don't represent. So just make a little note about that. Because at the end of the day, this is where we want to be. And this is the shift that's happened in leadership. And for a long time, there's been this big divide between those Martin Luther Kings and all those types of leaderships that we've gone up with, that's been Hollywood induced into our psyche around, well, this is leadership. But there are plenty of mums out there today, single mums, battling it out, working their asses off, bringing up two kids, who I would follow in the trenches in a heartbeat because of who they are and what they represent. There's plenty of people out there running businesses on the breadline, trying to make it happen. And I'd follow them any day because of who they are and what they represent. There's people in your family that are probably like that, parents, brothers and sisters. There's people in your organization that you just look at and you go, man, I want to be like that. I want to write that GCI, or I want to have that sexy office, or I want to drive that car. That's just shallow and fleeting type stuff. I mean, you look at the person, you go, man, I want to be like that. I want to be who they are. Because what they represent rocks my boat. What they represent changes my world. What they represent pushes me to be a better human. And if you haven't got leaders around you like that in your office or in your scope of influence or in your mind, you need to get those type of leaders. Because they're the ones that shake you up. They're the ones that create the bottom line. They're the ones that make you draw the line in the sand. They're the ones that get you out of bed every day and get you to be serious about what you're trying to do. They're the ones that get you to grow and expand and push yourself in a leadership way. Because the shift in leadership's gone from that authoritarian, collaboration, laissez-faire type leadership into hanging and saying, what's this person about? Who are they really? And whether you like them or not, that's irrelevant. Unless you know a person, unless you've gone 2 kilometres in their moccasins, as they say in the proverb, you don't really know the person. But when you get alongside some people and when you get some time and you spend some time with them, you can certainly find out who they are and what they represent. And you can find that out. Here's a little tip if you're looking for good leaders and mentors, how they react to things. If people are short, if they're sharp, if they're reactive to stuff, if they get angered easily and frustrated easily, that tells you something about who they are. It tells you something about what they represent. If they're not clear on their values, if they're not clear on what they stand for, if they're not clear on the direction they're going, if they're not clear about what they won't compromise for, they're not people you want to be around. You want to be around that understand and are very clear about who they are and what they represent. And that's why I asked you to write that down, because you need to get clear on that. If you're going to lead people, if you're going to lead organizations or lead teams or lead families or lead communities, you need to understand who are you and what do you represent. And that needs to be at the front, and people need to see that on a day-to-day basis. The upside to pinnacle leadership is that you can make room for others at the top. Remember, you want to develop leaders, not gain followers. Okay, John Maxwell says, you want to develop leaders, not gain followers. Most leadership is gaining followers. Yeah? And that's not what leadership is. Leadership is about developing other leaders. So the upside to pinnacle leadership is you can make room at the top for others. And this can happen if you're a mum, you can develop your little leaders, your kids. If you've got team members that are around you and you, there's no management structure or, you know, chart, you can still develop people and help them become leaders. The downside to pinnacle leadership is people potentially can think that they've arrived, that they've made it. Hey, I've done it. I'm pinnacle leadership. People follow me because of who I am. I'm a good bloke and what I represent. I'm fair dinkum. And you know you never arrive, and it's a constant growth. It's not about trying to be something that you're not. It's about trying to become someone who you should. And that's important when it comes to leadership.
Okay, so that's it from Jet this week. We've got a lot of great coaches coming up in Transform Masters. In the next couple of weeks, experts like Fiona Blaney and Matt LaHood. So subscribe to The Brief for more information, and we will catch you for the weekly wrap on Friday. I'm Samantha McLean. Thanks for listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine. See you all soon.
Transform Masters 2017 is brought to you by Elite Agent with thanks to Property Tree, realestate.com.au and Real Plus. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.